Welcome to The Magnetic Voice, here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel, an exciting show to explore and develop the healing power of your voice and ways it can vibrate the world. Today, episode 12, I Heart My Voice. And now your host, Monique McDonald.
Hello and welcome to The Magnetic Voice podcast. My name is Monique McDonald. And I'm here with my darling, Shannon Kropf.
Hello. Welcome, everybody, to this podcast.
Shannon, can you imagine tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and the day after that is my birthday?
Is it really? I didn't know that.
That's right.
So you're a February baby.
I'm a February Aquarius baby.
Wow.
And so I am offering to anyone within the sound of my voice a free voice of power assessment. And this is a lovely thing that I just love to do, which is just talk to people and help them tune their voice to their passion and power. So I want to invite everyone here to sign up for one Power of Voice assessment. And Shannon, the link will be on the...
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
Perfect.
And of course, you can always visit themagneticvoice.com and we'll have a link there as well.
Yay. Well, because of the date, today we're going to talk about how much we love our voices. I heart my voice.
Oh, yay.
So I have to start with a story. I was at Juilliard working my little you-know-what off, and I was chosen to be a soloist for one of the master classes at Juilliard. Now, this is a big deal. They open it up to the public, and anybody who's in the business shows up for these master classes. And this particular master class was with one of my all-time heroes, Leontine Price.
Oh, interesting.
She was one of the first women of color to have a superstardom career, and her manager was the great Saul Hurok, who was one of the last great entrepreneurs that really loved voices and really took voices that were obscure, that nobody had ever heard of, and made them into superstars. So I was about to go and sing for my hero. You can imagine how nervous I was.
So this is a big deal, is what
I'm picking up on. It was a kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this. I was sitting backstage at the Juilliard Theater, and I could feel this woman's energy before she actually entered.
Oh, wow.
The backstage. She wasn't even on stage yet. And when she walked in, she swept in. It was like somebody turned the lights on. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And I went out there and I sang this aria, very famous aria that she sang all the time. And I did everything to get out of singing it, but she requested it. So it's called La Canzone di Doretta from La Rondine. And it has a beautiful high C that you have to go up to the high C and twirl around up there and
of
come
course,
down
yeah.
and this end the aria. So,
which is just to clarify for people listening, is not the easiest thing in the world to do. Not everyone could do that.
No.
Okay.
And do you know, it was standing room only because Miss Price is beloved, and as far as I know, she's still alive in her 90s.
Wow.
Still singing. Amazing. And so I go up to my high C, and it's a pretty good high C. I was, you know, it was not bad. And I come down off of the high C, and I hear something. And Miss Price went up to the high C with me, but held it longer.
Oh my God.
So,
oh my God.
I turned and looked at her and put my hands on my hips. And it was, I mean, the whole audience just fell out. And she said, "Honey, if you have a, you know what, meaning a high C, mm-hmm. like that, you better hold it longer."
That and is the awesome. Whole,
it was such a beautiful experience. Mm. And she went on to say after, you know, we bowed and sang the rest of the aria together. I mean, it was one of those moments where, you know this is going to be one of those memories that you take to bed with mm-hmm. you and remind right. yourself right. that actually happened yeah. for the rest of your life.
Yep.
But I'll never forget what she said. She said, "One of the greatest things you have to do as a singer is learn how to love your voice."
Mm.
She said, because so many people will criticize you, mm-hmm. will give you quote unquote constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. You're going to get critiques in the paper. There are going to be people that are going to tell you how you should sing and what it should sound like.
Right.
And she said, but all of that's going to happen, and it won't go well for you.
Right.
If you don't love your voice
hmm.
and learn how to love your voice.
Hmm.
And I never forgot that. And it's hard, right?
Because
when you're working on your voice, whether you're a singer or a speaker, and because of this weird thing about technology, it's actually a scientific thing that I'm going to do some research and come back and tell you all about
okay.
it. That when we hear our own voice through technology, through recording, mm-hmm. it doesn't sound to us
right.
like it sounds to everyone else.
Interesting.
So that's one of the reasons. And the other one is because we just do tend to be self-critical.
Absolutely. Oh, I will not listen to anything that I've sung on ever for any reason, which is not great.
No.
We'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, I have a hard enough time loving my voice to begin with.
Right.
Never mind, I'm not hearing it like everybody else hears it. That's right. Like icky. So you're born with this talent, this raw, beautiful thing. Was it hard for you to learn to love your own voice?
It absolutely was. You're right in that I was born with, you know, a voice. I mm-hmm. was singing since I could talk.
Mm.
And one of the things that I learned at a very early age is that when I sang, people were happy. It made
nice.
People feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept doing it.
Right.
Because they would laugh or they would, you know, I loved being able to make people feel good. That was my main motivation.
Mm.
But my mother was a dramatic soprano, which is one of the biggest voices that
right.
is, you know, they sing Wagner. So
right.
with the heaviest orchestration because the voice is so big
yes.
and so full and dense.
Right.
So growing up with a voice like that, hearing that live all mm. the time, my voice really sounded kind of skinny and,
oh, wow.
and feeble next to it.
I can't imagine that, honestly.
It's really true. And so I had to really learn how to love my voice, even in the presence of the comparison
hmm.
of hearing my mother's voice,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was just so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why for a long time I did musical theater.
Right.
I did jazz. I didn't sing opera at all because
right.
there was no competition there, right?
Of course.
And when I say competition, she was so supportive.
Oh yeah, totally. I get that.
It was all in my own head.
Right.
And I had, this was one of those moments that I mentioned earlier when Miss Price came to Juilliard, where I had to learn. I remember there were arias that my mother sang that I wouldn't touch because it just, and then after a while, it's like, well, I've run out of rep. Right.
Well, I guess I'll go to this pile over here that I've been avoiding for 20 years. Cool.
Oh, and then, you know, how life is. I lost her. I lost my mom 5 years ago. And for the longest time, I couldn't touch anything she sang for different reasons, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had to learn how to appreciate my voice. And you know, I've been very lucky to have been recorded, and my recordings were nominated for Grammys. But I always say I wasn't mature enough to be able to go in and listen to the playbacks.
Yep.
I had to trust other people to listen because to my ear, it was never good enough.
Right.
And so I had to learn how to listen from critical self-evaluation because, and I had to really train myself because again, all I could hear were the flaws.
Right.
I couldn't hear what was good.
Right.
So what I would do is I would have to wait. I would have to wait sometimes as long as a year to go back and listen. Mm-hmm. However, I was recording all of my voice lessons.
Oh, okay.
In order to learn and have that guidance, you know, and I do that with my clients now as well.
Sure.
Whether they're, you know, singing or speaking, because if you can listen without critical ears, if you can sort of climb into your body and hear it as though you're singing or speaking, you can actually correct the things that your body and breath will correct if you're not criticizing.
Right.
If you're criticizing, your body and breath will go into the same posture and freeze that happened that created the imbalance in the recording in the first place.
Right. Interesting. So
yeah.
No, go ahead. I have questions.
Yes, I love questions.
But I don't
ask
want to interrupt
questions.
You.
No, this is a perfect time.
Okay, so I think we've all had that experience where we've listened back to something, whether it's speaking or singing or whatever, maybe even casually on, you know, somebody's iPhone video or something, and you just think, oh my God, that sounds nothing like me.
Right.
So I'm interested to talk more about that in the future. But what would you say to somebody like me? I was never, quote unquote, supposed to be a singer. And some people out there might be saying I was never, quote unquote, supposed to be a speaker. But here we are, you know?
That's right.
As a matter of fact, I avoided worship leading for a long time. I was just the piano player. And that was it. That's all I wanted. And sure enough, you know, the universe works its way in and around and up and down and through and over. And so eventually I'm a worship leader who has an admittedly not strong voice. And it gets stronger over time, which is great. But I have always wished that I had somebody else's voice. Like I've always wanted to be like a gospel singer. That's like what my soul is. And then my voice doesn't sound like my soul to me.
Right.
How do you deal with something so fundamentally like I have this thing in me that wants to get expressed, but I just, I mean, through mechanics or genealogy or whatever it is, that's just not what I am. So how do I learn to love this other thing that I am?
That is a terrific question, Shannon. It really is. Here's the thing. Our voices are a reflection of our life experiences, which is why very often we don't like to hear them.
That's interesting.
Because the voice may be reflecting what we would perceive as weakness, or it doesn't sound as rich or beautiful mm-hmm. as we hear other or experience other voices. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, a lot of what was going on with me and my mother because
right.
it was outside of me. So I was hearing it in a different way mm-hmm. than I hear my own voice.
Right.
So what I would say is that there is a process through which every speaker and every singer has to go through. And that is to learn to love their voice. Mm. What gets us into trouble is because we're comparing.
Right.
And that is an issue that is really, really tough.
Especially when you listen to records to learn to sing. So you're automatically comparing yourself to whatever you're listening to, you know?
That's right. That's right. And in my technique, I really guide the singer to stop listening.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And to really feel it. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as we start putting our focus not on how it sounds, mm-hmm. but how it feels, then we're including other parts of our experience.
I see.
Right? We're including how the breath moves through our body, mm-hmm. how it feels to connect to the power within us mm-hmm. that sings.
Right.
You know, the voice is a mechanism that we intend it. We have ideas of what we want it to do, but we don't really know how it gets done.
Right.
You know, yeah. And I teach technique.
Right.
Because it is supposed to be spontaneous mm. and we set up the right conditions mm-hmm. and then allow it to speak.
Right.
Allow it to sing.
Right.
And when a singer starts to really groove on that, they stop comparing sounds. Mm-hmm. And start really getting into that sensation of having, it's like this energy that passes through your body. Mm-hmm. And when you're really truly connected to that energy, the sounds are happening without you in
right.
a way.
Right.
And so you start to really groove on those sounds. Yeah. Same thing with speaking, you know?
Yes.
It's like, we know when our beloved is on the phone and we can't see their face, mm-hmm. right? You can tell.
Yep.
Hello. You can tell right away
oh, yeah.
what's been going on. It's the beautiful thing about the human voice.
Hmm. You know, I've had a couple of those sort of like mountaintop experiences, the nirvana, like I'm so connected in spirit with what I'm doing that it's just coming out. And my little critic who is always with me just goes, oh, yeah, okay, that's awesome. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? They all of a sudden, that critic has nothing to say.
Right. And those are the best, best moments.
They are. And they are what we live for as performers. I mean, singers have it especially because we are using that energy that flows through us
right.
to actually make sound.
Right.
Instrumentalists have the same energy flowing through them, but they are using another instrument, right?
Exactly.
Their instrument is not their body and breath.
Right.
So that energy, but we've all had that. And the same thing with speakers, mm-hmm. when they just know, they release yep. into, I was coaching a lady who was doing a TEDx talk, and her subject was amazing. And she was really in her head mm-hmm. and trying to get it right, you know? Mm-hmm. And I said, it's time now for you to step in to the bigness of
right.
this moment.
Right.
It's bigger than you are.
Right.
It's bigger than the words that you're saying.
Mm.
Breathe into it
right.
and just allow it to come through you because yeah. we really are God's microphone.
Right. And even as speakers and teachers, I've had that moment of nirvana where, and I don't teach as much as I used to because I retired out of higher education and into my second act, which has been awesome.
Yes.
But I do miss teaching from time to time. So maybe universe is going to give a little nudge in that direction, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But even if I'm in a non-spiritual speaking setting, like for instance, when I'm teaching the history of popular music, and I'm on a subject that I really love, and I have demonstrated over and over that the way that I present this subject is enthralling for my students, and they really start to get excited and pick up on what I'm saying. You know, this isn't just dead persons and dates. This is like the living, breathing genesis of what we are today. And I get all excited, and I'm like one big chill bump from head to toe. And it so that energy, it almost doesn't matter what medium you're using to bring it out, whether it's speaking or singing or playing an instrument or kicking a soccer ball, whatever it is, there's that. I'm going to stop myself right there. Have you watched the movie Soul yet?
No,
okay.
Not yet.
It's a great one to watch because they managed to depict in that animated movie this moment of nirvana that he has while he's playing piano. And I was dumbstruck. I was like, that's exactly it. So Everybody out there, if you happen to have Disney Plus, give it a watch. It's a delightful movie, but that moment where he reaches this bliss is so true. You know, you can just tell that whoever worked on those scenes in that movie were in their own bliss when they were making it. It's amazing. So
that's right. And it is catching,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Because you are having that experience of connection, and anyone within the sound of your voice is having, therefore, that connection.
That's right.
And they can feel it too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So here's another question. I'm going to tell a little story and then ask you a question about comparison.
Okay.
What when it does come from other people and you think it's true and it may actually be true, how do you work through that? So here's my story to set it up. When we lived in Memphis and I was the worship leader instructor, I had to lead worship a lot for a lot of different people in a lot of different places, and it was great. Of course, I was doing it kind of like you with your story at the beginning. I would always be put on the spot in front of this, like, here's the number one national recording artist in Germany. You guys sing worship together. I'm like, oh, great. So, you know, I was always kind of working through that I'm not good enough stuff, which we've talked about a lot. But we were on one of these trips to Germany, and I was walking back up to where we were staying from a little ice cream shop with my boss, the guy who's my boss at the college. And there was a real good friend of ours, mutual friend, who was a great worship leader in the area, fantastic songwriter. So I'm not going to name him because who knows, somebody may know his name. But he was the typical cool worship dude. He was, you know, he had a cool rockin' haircut and he wore all this denim cool stuff all the time. And he had this awesome voice and he was a great songwriter and he was a guitar player. And, you know, he's younger than me and all these things. He's like as far anti me as you can get in terms of just stuff about, you know, like he's a great person. I'm a great person. So it wasn't that. It was just male, female, short, tall, sings, doesn't sing, whatever.
Okay.
So all of that to say, we were walking back up and my friend and boss is musing to me. Yeah, I really think we need to go in another direction with worship leaders. I was like, oh, okay. Because I wrote the program. So, okay, I'm cool. Let's see what he's got to say. Yeah, we really need somebody like, and then said the guy's name. That's who we really need to head this up. And I was like, okay. That's so totally not who I am, which tells me you're not right for what you're doing right now and having great results with. And so I went back upstairs and I was like, okay, let's think about this. He's male. I can't do anything about that. He sings in a certain rocky way. I don't have that. Not going to have it. Whatever else I said, he plays guitar. I play piano. And all these comparisons, which are true, But,
right, okay.
But let me finish with where I wound up. And you can speak to me before my epiphany moment and after my epiphany moment, maybe. Before my epiphany moment, I was like, okay, God, what's going on here? Because clearly something screwed up. You know, you put me in the wrong spot or something ain't working here. And the epiphany moment came when I heard that still small voice that said, no, you're not a guy. You're not a rocker. You don't write fantastic worship songs. You don't play guitar. And get the joke in this word, despite all that, not really despite it, but in spite of all of that, I still choose to use you to do this.
And there it is.
And I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So just address, you know, when stuff does come at you, if you don't mind addressing, like, what do you do in that moment of like, wow, you are actually, that feedback is dead on and there's not much I can do about it. What do you do in that space?
Okay, two things. The first, I always consider the source. Because you were guessing what this man was talking about
right,
and what he was thinking about when he was saying, we should have somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that all the time. We make up stories because of our own insecurities about what other people are saying.
Right.
And then second, there is always what your epiphany brought you, which is probably, in my belief system, why you had this experience.
Right.
So that you could come to this.
Mm.
Even though there are a gazillion voice teachers in New York City, and they are all good. Well, let's give that the
they're
benefit
all
of the doubt.
Intentioned.
They're all, but they do not have my special sauce.
Mm.
They
mm-hmm.
do not have the Monique part of the information.
Right.
Just like you're chosen to design and create that program.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. And as soon as we can get clear and get back to, we are always the outpicturing of what our unique divine voice has in store for us, then we get to celebrate what we do have instead of comparing ourselves to others and seeing all that we don't.
Oh, that's really great. And kind of freeing because this is where we are and we are where we are for a reason.
And our voices are like a thumbprint. Because they are a reflection of our life experiences, no two voices are the same.
Right.
Ever. So that means whatever you have to say, or if you sing the same song as somebody else, I used to have a class like that. I used to have everybody in the class sing the same song so that you got to see, okay, so this one has that and this one has that, but I have this.
Right.
And so love your voice, Shannon.
And everybody out there.
And everyone out there. I really want to invite you this Valentine's Day, no matter where you are, who you're with, love your voice because it's yours and yours fully and completely. And the world needs it.
Let's ponder that.
Let's. Okay, here we are, about to go in. I invite you to take a deep centering breath, watching your belly release out for the inhale, and then watching it fall back towards your spine for the exhale. Release anything that tightened, then inhale to the floor. watching your tummy release out. Pause for a moment, full of the life force. And then gently start your exhale, feeling your tummy fall back towards the spine. I'm going to be silent while you do that for a few moments, just watching the breath, watching your body fill with the life force. Now I want you to think of your voice. Think of your voice as the reflection of all of your life experience. Think of all the ways your voice supports you. How it supports your business, how it supports your love, how it supports your family. Yes, that's it. Now, on your next exhale, go ahead and give a good, long, sounding breath or sigh. Think of all the times you spoke and people felt better. All the times you sang just because you could, that brought you joy. Think of the moments where your voice got tight with fear, and breathe and watch it release. In this moment, we give gratitude to our voices. We know that with every breath, we consciously connect to the divine voice within, and we allow this voice to speak through us, leading, guiding, loving, blessing. And we say, I love you, my beautiful voice. Thank you. Thank you for all the ways you support me. And as we breathe into this gratitude, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, voice. And so it is. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Magnetic Voice here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. This channel is made possible because of listeners just like you. If you would like to support the channel with your tax-deductible contribution on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. The Magnetic Voice is copyright 2021, Monique McDonald, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Dave Croft and used with permission. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.